Welcome to NSPCC Learning, a series of podcasts that cover a range of child protection issues to hopefully inform, create debate, and tell you all about the work we do to keep children safe. At the heart of every podcast is the child's voice and how what they tell us informs the work we do.
Hi, and welcome to the latest NSPCC Learning podcast. This is one of two podcasts focusing on how the NSPCC and our external partners have delivered services during the pandemic. The episode you're about to listen to looks at how we undertook research in order to gather insights about how our Baby Steps service has been run since the lockdown began in March. Baby Steps is a very established face-to-face service that's been designed to help prepare people for becoming parents, not just for the birth itself. I had a chat with Ashley McAlerney and Michelle Mabry, who have both been researching what we can learn from working with children and families and developing this into a series of service delivery insights. We talked about how Ashley and Michelle undertook the research, about how our service delivery models have been adapted, and how this has been received by families, practitioners, teams, and delivery partners. In addition, we also discussed what we could understand and learn from this work.
Ashley, can we come to you first, and can you give an overview of the service delivery insight series?
Yes, Ali. Well, this is something that in the development and impact team that we are working on at the moment. Essentially, what we're trying to do is to create an ongoing flow of learning back into the service development process, so that we're always learning and feeding that back in to improve our services. And I guess, as we all know, not across all organisations, we collect so much data and information on our services all of the time, but sometimes we don't make effective use of that. And that's what we're seeking to do in this research and in this insight series, is really about looking at the data that we have available to us that we routinely collect so that we can learn and improve our services. So I guess our primary focus is feeding it back into colleagues within our team about insights for developing the services that we're working on, but also I think if there's value in sharing that more widely with other organisations to help them learn about developing and implementing services, I guess that's why we're pulling together this as a series.
Michelle, can I come to you? This particular service delivery insight is about our Baby Steps service. Could you give us an overview about that service?
Certainly. Our Baby Steps service is an antenatal education and support programme. It focuses on the normal antenatal education programme that is offered quite widely through the UK, but there is some additional topics that we bring in, which is quite unique to Baby Steps, which includes areas around the infant-parent relationship, couple relationships, emotional well-being, and baby's development. And these areas have been seen to have a hugely beneficial impact on the parents' relationships with their babies, and reducing levels of anxiety and depression.
Great, thanks, Michelle. So can you talk us through what this insights project involved? So what were you researching in relation to Baby Steps?
Well, I suppose just picking up on what Michelle has said, we know that pregnancy, you know, the research would tell us clearly that pregnancy is a stressful time for some parents, and, you know, between 10 and 20% of mothers and up to 10% of dads will experience mental health issues or challenges at this time. So you know, that has only been what we know from what's been going on around us over the last 6 months or 8 months. That has only been exacerbated or added to by COVID, where there has been a gap in services provided, midwifery services, health visiting services, and people have been facing into birth and labour without the support of family and friends. So we know that our service has been adapted. So for us, it was really important that we try and learn from that experience as much as possible. What we wanted to do was to describe and understand the process that was followed in terms of adapting the programme during the COVID restrictions, how that came about, what were the adaptations that were made, and how they worked. We wanted to identify some of the key challenges and the enablers, not just for ourselves as an organisation supporting the scale up of this programme, but also for external partner delivery sites And we wanted to identify any key learning that we could take more widely into other services in our early years work, or wider again in just into service development across the NSPCC.
So Ashleen and Michelle, kind of going on from that, could you talk us through some of the barriers and challenges and issues that the Research Insights Project threw up?
Some of the key challenges really were around technology, not only for organisations like ourselves and the delivery partners, and having access, first of all, to platforms such as video conferencing platforms where we could engage in virtual delivery. I think that took a couple of months, and the research has shown that in the beginning there was almost like a scramble where people were practitioners and teams were trying to respond to meet the needs of people on the ground, but didn't have ready to go, essentially, the tech capability and the hardware to have them do that. So it took a process of basically of learning and trying to build that capability and skills in the early days. And also, I guess, technology proved a challenge. We talk about the concept of IT poverty, but for some parents and families, having access to tablets and laptops to actually engage in an online program is a challenge, and having access to the affordability of mobile data. What the insights has really shown is that, you know, through dedication, commitment, and really being creative, that practitioners have across a range of sites have pulled together and collaboratively produced a set of videos where NSPCC then led on pulling that together into a private YouTube channel so that could be accessed by all of the sites. And also by the parents doing the programme. Those challenges were really overcome by, you know, leadership and commitment and being really creative and innovative in using, providing some technical solutions. I think NSPCC also led in developing a SharePoint site where different teams took the lead on developing and adapting specific resources, whether they were resources for parents whose language, first languages, wasn't English, language other than English, were which could be used by other sites then in trying to gauge some of those communities as well. So while the challenges were there, I think what really comes out of this piece of work is really strong collaboration, strong working together, and a real strong sense of sharing resources to really help meet the needs of people at this uncertain and difficult time.
Michelle, if I can come to you, obviously the NSPCC's all our work is centred around the voice of the child and capturing that. This would have been incredibly difficult for this insight series for many reasons. A lot of the, you know, most of the time the children weren't born yet, and obviously when they were very young. But the added pressures of the service completely changing during lockdown. How was that for you as a kind of team to kind of try and capture that voice of the child?
And I think we, within the scope of this work, we weren't in a place to be able to do that work, even though it would have been ideal to have understood the real impact of the work that was undertaken. We did have some wonderful hearsay evidence from parents through our sites about the positive impact that we had, that service had had, and the fact that we'd been able to provide support in a time where they weren't getting support elsewhere was hugely beneficial to them. At the time, most of our sites were dealing with the COVID impact, which meant a number of their staff were being furloughed across or redirected into frontline healthcare services to support the impact. And so trying to do any kind of formal evaluation process just wasn't an option for them at the time, as for us. So sadly, that hasn't been able to happen. But like I say, we had some really good support from the sites that the impact has been incredibly positive.
Yeah, I mean, and just to add, I mean, we did have some, you know, exploratory calls with a couple of sites early on just to see what was possible in that regard and what learning could we capture. And it became very clear, as Michelle has suggested, in terms of capacity, that there just wasn't going to be possible to engage service users directly at that time, in light of all that was going on for service users themselves, but also for the sites in terms of what they could contribute to. So on the back of that, what we did decide to do was look at what data we had and try and make best and effective use of that for learning. But going forward, if we were thinking about using a virtual or even a blended model of delivery for Baby Steps and other services, I think it would be really important that we do include the voice of the service user and what their experience has been of receiving services this way before any formal decisions are made about a programme delivery model.
What's worked well? What out of the insights that you discovered, what were the positives?
Well, I suppose there's three key things that have come out. The first of all, sites, you know, we looked at a range of types of data. We looked at the minutes, and there was 11 project call meetings with managers or facilitators over a 5-month period, and they were all hosted and facilitated by the NSPCC scale-up unit. We looked at reach data that they captured themselves in terms of how many parents were using their program, how many included fathers in supportive carers as well as mums. We looked at YouTube data from the YouTube channel. We looked at the data about who was using the site, how they were using it, how many videos they watched, how long those videos were watched, all of that sort of material. And we also interviewed two implementation managers. And right across all of that data, when we analysed it, there's a very strong theme coming through about sites feeling supported. And in some cases, people have talked about being inspired. So there was something there about really strong sense of community ethos across the sites and strong leadership really from the NSPCC scale-up unit in terms of coordinating the sharing of resources, building a real sense of shared purpose and community around delivery at that time. But now the community of practice is something that NSPCC, that the scale-up unit provides on an ongoing basis. So it was about building on that and also providing a space for practitioners who are, you know, providing a service to families in a challenging circumstance who were working at a very fast pace to adapt and meet the needs and respond to the needs on the ground, but also themselves living through the COVID pandemic and working remotely. So the community of practice was highlighted as also providing almost a safe space for them to reflect and take a bit of time to think about all that was going on and look at how they themselves were coping and able to respond. So I know that was valued right across by practitioners. One of the other things that has come out really has been about the reach that a virtual model can make in terms of engaging people who don't live close to a centre where a face-to-face service was offered. So about new geographies, new locations, but also reaching people who would have faced other barriers to being included in a face-to-face group. And there's huge potential there for reaching excluded people who have great need but are excluded for all sorts of reasons. And I suppose the other key learning really is about technology and what, you know, innovative, creative solutions we can put in place and what doors that opens for how we deliver our services, but also how we learn from that. Like the example of using the analytics very simply from the YouTube channel, but what that can tell us in terms of how people are using our service, and then how we can improve that service. For example, what we noted was that most parents were watching up to 2 to 3 minutes of the videos, even though many of the videos were longer. So what we noted was that, well, next time we're making videos, let's make sure that they're short and let's make sure that we have the key messages in the early part of the video. So simple things like that, just from really what technology provides us in terms of how we use data and how we learn.
That's a really interesting point about what we've learned and how that's going to help us shape and possibly change the Baby Step service going forward. Michelle or Aisling, are there any more examples like that about how either this has affected practice already or how it might affect practice and how we deliver Baby Steps in the future?
I think there is some clear learning about how technological engagement has changed some of the ways that people have been involved with us, and I think we've seen a wider group of people potentially joining some of these sessions and engaging with services that potentially wouldn't have before, which has been hugely positive. In reality, there is a nervousness, I think, that people see the cost savings of using technology as a long-term saving, and I think what's really important to highlight here is that there was a continued message that face-to-face contact can never really be replaced, and building those relationships and the peer support that offered through that face-to-face contact should never completely be replaced. But there's definitely a lot of learning that can be taken.
Yeah, I suppose one of the things that really emerged was about that, you know, that baby steps and programs of this nature about building relationships and relationship skills, and the physical presence of either bumps or babies in a group, and the importance of that, and that was missed, that's missing in a virtual context. So certainly while there are huge benefits, as Michelle has said and we've said earlier, I mean, there's also significant challenges in terms of the way the program is delivered, the types of activities that can be that can be done in a virtual context. So I'm certainly from the data that we've analyzed, there would be a clear sense or consensus among practitioners on the ground that this shouldn't replace face-to-face. Maybe there's an opportunity for blending elements of it where we use technology, but that the face-to-face would be very important.
So Michelle and Aisling, could you talk us through how it's been for you guys researching all of this, especially with the limitations that the lockdown and other restrictions have brought?
Absolutely. I think it has been, it has been a really worthwhile process for us, because, as we've chatted through, we have taken some really good learning, I think, for how we work and potentially for how sites themselves will work in terms of delivering the programme. And it's great to be working, this is a relatively new way, it's great to be working in this way where we're making effective use of data that we collect. I suppose some of the challenges really around that are, I suppose one of the key things is about recognising the limitations of what data, routine data, can give you, what we can learn from it. Well, first and foremost, we have to remember that it was collected for a different reason. It was collected for monitoring who's using services or, to track service delivery. But when you start to try and use it for learning, there are obvious things that are going to come up in terms of the recording and how complete that data is when you're using it for another purpose, such as research and insights and learning. I suppose the other most important thing really is that, we don't have the direct voice of the service user. So we don't know from the data that we have available to us. We don't know what their experience and their response has been to using the baby steps when it was delivered virtually.
I think mainly the learning for me is very much that while we've always captured information, it's been used for a very certain purpose, as Aisling identified. And I think it certainly made us look at how we collect data and the way we ask questions and gather that sort of information to be a bit smarter, I suppose, about how we ask the questions and gather that data, to be able to use it in multiple ways, and to make it a more meaningful reporting process, with the ability to actually feed back to our sites themselves rather than just gathering things for our own purposes. So yeah, there's a lot of learning has been taken from it.
This is a gap that we all face in our work in terms of how do we make good use of what we collect on an ongoing basis to learn. And I think there's an appetite for that. So certainly it's good to be beginning to do this and to build our own capability around it.
Well, Aisling, Michelle, thanks very much for speaking to us today about your Service Delivery Insights series. We'll look forward to hearing about the next one.
Thank you for listening to this NSPCC Learning podcast. If you're looking for more safeguarding and child protection training, information or resources, please visit our professionals' website at nspcc.org.uk/learning.